thousands of people are completely transforming their gut health. They're beating anxiety, overcoming depression, and even fixing their skin issues. And it's all down to a bunch of goats and whales. Welcome to the For Gut's Sake podcast. I'm your host, Mark McLean, and this podcast is all about helping people with ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, and IBS to reverse their symptoms and then help you take back control of your gut health. Now, I bet you didn't expect that there's some random herd of goats down in a farm in Wales that could help you not only sort your gut issues, but beat anxiety, overcome depression, and even sort out like long-standing skin issues. It sounds totally nuts, but that's what we're diving into in this week's podcast. All of those health benefits are down to goat's milk kefir, which is like a super probiotic drink which has all these amazing different health benefits, and it really works on that whole gut-brain connection. So in today's episode, we're going to chat with Shan Nix-Jones. She's the owner of Chuckling Goat, which produces all of this kefir, which is being shipped all over the UK. And Chuckling Goat has since become the leading gut health company in the UK. In today's chat, we're going to be talking about the problems with the typical kefir and probiotic products that you would find on supermarket shelves and why they don't even come close to this farm-produced goat's milk kefir. We're also going to talk about how this kefir actually helped to save Shan's husband's life. She'll talk about the four biggest enemies to a healthy gut microbiome. We'll delve into exactly why kefir has been shown to really help ease anxiety and depression. And then we'll also look at the amazing results that goat's milk kefir has had with skin conditions like psoriasis and eczema. We've got loads of love for the goats around here at the For Gut's Sake podcast, so let's dive into the episode right now. Hi Shan, welcome to the For Gut's Sake podcast. I think you're the first ever journalist, aside from myself, who has been on this podcast. And I don't know of any other journalist on the planet who's delved into the gut microbiome and probiotics as much as you. So really looking forward to getting into all of that stuff. But first, let's begin the podcast talking about goat's milk kefir and why that's the king of kefirs.
It has to do with the difference between goat's milk and cow's milk. So when I learned to make kefir from Dr. Natasha Campbell McBride, who is from Russia, and she was using the kefir to deal with her patients who had autism, she told me to use goat's milk because it has the A2 casein instead of the A1 casein. Most cow's milk has the A1 casein, which is very allergic and can cause a lot of autoimmune issues. So large numbers of people are actually allergic or intolerant to dairy, and they think that they're intolerant to all dairy. But a lot of the times, it's just the cow dairy that they're allergic to. So it is possible to be allergic to goat's milk, but it's extremely unusual and very unlikely. Goat's milk is considered to be a functional food by scientists, and it's something that's even given to babies who cannot tolerate their own mother's breast milk. So it is so hypoallergenic that it's just really easily tolerated. And that has to do not only with the A2 casein, but also with the size of the fat molecules. So if you think about the bioprofile of a cow, the cow is producing milk to give to something that is the size of a cow. Everything is proportionately bigger. The fat molecules are bigger, etc. A goat is more human size, really. Fat molecules are smaller. The solid levels are lower. It's bioprofiled to be almost exactly like human milk. And goat's milk can also soak through the human skin barrier, which is very unusual and almost unique in its ability to sort of soak into the skin, taking all the nice anti-inflammatories with it. So that's why we use goat's milk instead of cow's milk.
Ah, that makes sense. And it's really interesting. But how would the stuff that you guys produce on the farm differ from the standard stuff that people would buy on supermarket shelves?
So in the supermarket, you're going to find things, first of all, that have additives. Secondly, that have sugar or sweeteners and flavorings. So any of that stuff is going to degrade the level of the probiotics. you're also, it's going to be cow's milk. And often it, I mean, almost always, it won't be made with real kefir grains. So what you want is something made with real kefir grains and not just a powdered sachet. The difference there is a kefir grain is a living organism. It's a funny looking little squishy thing. It looks like a little cauliflower, and they grow and they reproduce. They are living. So if you have a kefir grain and you make kefir, pretty soon you're going to have more kefir grains because they're reproducing. This is providing a very complex system of fermentation. So you put the grains in the milk, you leave it there for 24, 48 hours until it hits a certain pH level. And there are 28 in our kefir. There are 28 different strains of bacteria, all living and thriving in their own environment. They actually have their own prebiotics in there. So that in itself creates what we call a symbiotic, which is a probiotic plus a prebiotic. And then you've got this natural ecosystem of different strains all, you know, cooperating and living and thriving together in this complex ecosystem. You compare that to a supermarket kefir that has been a powdered sachet, maybe two or three strains, three or four strains at most, added into this milk, cow's milk, which is going to be allergic, and then it's pasteurized. So, yeah. Which is going to kill everything off. Michael Mosley did a study for his show, Trust Me, I'm a Doctor. And they actually looked at a lot of the so-called supermarket kefir and found that it, very little of it was active at all because it had been pasteurized at the end of the process. So by contrast, at Chuckling Goat, we use a traditional fermenting process. We do start out with pasteurized milk because it's a safety concern. So basically, if I need to be happy about my environmental standards and training standards and so on, we have to start with the pasteurized milk for safety. Then we put the kefir grains into the milk and ferment them. And then we get the end product out, and that end product is not pasteurized. So it's completely live. All those bacterial strains are still thriving in there. And then we send that off to be microbiologically tested at the food safety laboratory. And we actually test every single batch. And we wait until we have the paperwork back in our hands before we ship the batch. And we have 100% traceability. So if you have a bottle and you say, oh, you know, is this kefir okay? I can say, bear with me 1 minute. I'll go look up the paperwork for that exact bottle and I can show you the test report. That's what we do instead of pasteurizing it at the end. And because the pH drops so low, literally you're to a point where no pathogen can survive. And that's part of the beauty of kefir.
And Shan, I know how much your company's like exploded over the past few years now. It's now the leading gut health company in the UK, but it's also got an amazing backstory, which I really love. So please tell us all about Chuckling Goat and how it was launched.
We started in 2014. My son was experiencing eczema and recurrent bronchitis. So he would get sick, take him to the doctor, take antibiotics, take him home, and then he'd get sick again. And at the time, I didn't know much about that, but I had a feeling that pumping all these antibiotics into a little kid could not be a good idea. So I said to Rich, my Welsh farmer husband, I said, what are we going to do about this? We've got to do something. We can't just keep going round and round to the doctor. And he said, well, let's get a goat. And I said, I just told you my child is ill and you said we want to get a goat. I don't understand that. But what Rich knew and what comes out of the Welsh farming tradition is that goat's milk is good for eczema, bronchitis, asthma, all of these kind of conditions. It's just, I asked him later, how did you know that? And he said, it's just in the Welsh tradition. They know stuff. So, all right, fine. I thought it was weird, but we went and got a goat, brought the goat home. We started giving Benj the goat's milk. And lo and behold, it worked. He stopped getting the bronchial infections. What I know now is he was reacting to the cow's milk, right? That A1 casein, which was really allergic, creates mucus. And so he would, every time he got sick, he had, you know, bronchitis and mucus in his bronchial airways. So the goat's milk helped a lot. But then we had too much milk and it was going up. You know, that one goat was producing so much milk that it actually was going off in the fridge and it made me feel guilty because I was having to chuck it. So I got online and I was typing in, what can I do with extra goat's milk? I didn't want to make goat cheese because everybody makes goat cheese. I thought that was kind of boring. But I was listening to the radio and I heard this Dr. Natasha Campbell McBride talking about this weird stuff called kefir. At the time, in 2014, nobody had ever heard of it. But she comes from Russia, which is where it's originally made. So she knew about it. She was using it, so on. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. And I know that parents who have autistic children, one thing I know about them, they're busy. We have friends who have kids who are autistic, and they do not have time to be fermenting things on some windowsill. You know, they got other things to do. So I thought, all right, maybe I could help out. I could use our goat's milk and ferment this kefir stuff, and I could do it according to the directions that this doctor is giving. And maybe that she'd be happy to give that to her patients if I made it according to her recipe. So I got in touch with her, and sure enough, she taught me how to make it in the Russian way. And that was the beginning. So we started making the kefir. Shortly after that, my husband, Rich, he had colitis for a long time. He had a relapse, went into the hospital, and he came out without his large intestine, but with an MRSA superbug infection down his midline incision. And again, I didn't have any medical training. You know, I'm not a doctor, but I thought, right, the day that that growing infection hits his internal organs, surely we're in trouble. Surely that's not a good thing. And the doctor came, looked at his incision, and said, I have no experience with anything of this magnitude. I think you need to call the surgeon. And he got in his car and he locked the doors. I'll never forget watching him lock the doors. And he zoomed up the track. Of course, MRSA is contagious. That's why he didn't want anything to do with it. And in fact, they test you before you go into hospital. And if you have MRSA, they won't let you in. So there I was with this man infected with MRSA. And I thought, well, if he dies, where do I physically put him? I can't put him in hospital. I can't put him in hospice. Is he just going to die on my sofa? Is that how this works? We met late in life. You know, I was 41 before we met, and I thought, this is not how my story ends. I did not come all the way across the ocean to find this man to have him die on my sofa, not on my watch. That's not happening. So I started to do some research, and we were making the kefir in the stone barn. The surgeon said the problem with MRSA is that it colonizes all over your body. It's not just in the wound itself. It's also, it has replaced every healthy skin cell with a copy of itself. So he said, you could dip Rich in bleach and you would never kill off all the Staphylococcus aureus that's all over his body. That's MRSA stands for methicillin, which is an antibiotic resistant Staphylococcus aureus. That's what it means. Antibiotics do not work anymore. We've used antibiotics. They've killed off all the weak ones. The strong ones have become resistant, and we've created our own nightmare. So I thought, right, if I can't kill off all the bugs and this infection carries on, what happens? He dies. Okay, I don't like that. I don't like that outcome. So I'm going to ask a different question. I thought, what's the opposite of killing? I'm a communications specialist. I'm not a doctor, but I am a journalist and I know about communications. And what I could see as I researched was the frames were so aggressive. In all the research, it's all, we're going to kill the bacteria. The bacteria is killing us. We're fighting. We're waging war. You know, the communication metaphors were just, they were violent. And I thought, it's not going to work. I can't kill them. They're going to kill me. I need a different frame. And so I thought, well, what's the opposite of, you know, killing? I don't know. I was going, okay, give me anything. Unicorn, dancing, rainbows, allies. Okay, allies. Maybe what I need is a microbiological ally on that small level to put those MRSAs back in their box. I can't do it, but maybe there's a bug that can. I was crazy at this point. I was losing my mind. He was fading in and out of consciousness. Anyway, I did some research and I found a combination of essential oils that in the Black Plague, I know it sounds crazy, but I was desperate. Perfumers actually used to keep themselves from getting infected. I washed him down with that. And then I alternated that with a wash of the kefir. So I'd use the, what we now sell as CG oil and the kefir. My theory was that the essential oil would knock the pathogen level back and the kefir would get a toehold, and the lactobacillus, which is very active and it covers ground, like planting flowers so that you have so many flowers that there's no room for weeds, that might push the MRSA back? You know, I didn't know. I thought, well, it's not going to harm and it might help and I have to do something. I can't just sit here and watch him die. So I did that for about 3 days. The nurse who was coming every day measured that the MRSA was eating holes in his wound. They were getting deeper every day. And they're like horrible little red mouths, grim. One day she measured and she said, it's not deeper today. Okay. The next day she came back, measured again. She said, it's actually shallower. And we both looked at each other like, move. She came back the next day, definitely shallower. Day after that, that wound healed and closed. And Rich got up out of his bed and got onto his tractor, and he's been there ever since. So it worked. Wow. It was crazy, but it worked.
So essentially you had to do this kind of experiment because you had no other choice, and it was basically life or death. Was it the case that your husband was literally on his deathbed?
Yeah. And the doctors couldn't help us. And believe you me, if there had been a medical option, I would have taken it. I mean, I would have been happy. I'm not a crank about these things. I would have been thrilled. But the doctor just went, I got nothing for you. It's a superbug. Sorry. So I was desperate. That's what happened. Push a woman into a corner and threaten her family. And sometimes you see amazing things happen. But literally, that's how it happened. I learned from that kefir works as well on the skin as it does inside the gut. I didn't know that. There was no research at the time. I couldn't find anyone who was using kefir on the skin. There's only a bit of research about what it does inside the gut. But I learned then, I went to Yorkshire to a place called Soap School, and I learned to put the kefir into soaps and lotions because I thought, if I want to do this for other people, you know, Rich just smelled like a cheese. I was coating him with kefir. I said, this is not a user-friendly process. Nobody else is going to want to do this. So I combined it with different kinds of essential oils that smelled nice and had their own benefits and started making soaps and lotions. And what I found was our son Benji also had eczema. And of course, these things go together. Eczema, asthma, IBS, food allergy, food intolerance, you know, bronchitis. It's a constellated group of autoimmune issues. If you combine the probiotic on the inside, so you're drinking the kefir, with a probiotic lotion on the skin, you get amazing results on eczema, psoriasis, rosacea, and acne. Because all of those things, as it turns out, are autoimmune disorders. Those are not skin conditions. And anyone who has those in any one of those issues knows that because they have put everything on their skin and nothing works. You can calm it with steroids, but that's temporary. The reason nothing works when you put it on your skin topically is it's not a skin condition, it's a gut disorder. And you will never clear your skin until you heal your gut. So the combination of probiotics inside, probiotics outside was getting these amazing results.
So we'll get back to the show shortly. But before we do, I have a wee request. If you've been getting any value from any of the For Gut's Sake episodes and would like the show to continue to grow, to keep serving you and reaching more amazing and knowledgeable guests, then could you please leave a rating and review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify? Ratings and reviews really do make a big difference in attracting new listeners and helping this info reach the right people out there who really need help with their gut issues. So if you can spare a moment later and leave a rating and review, I'd be ridiculously grateful. Okay, let's get back to it. I've seen a lot of amazing reviews on your website. I was going through all of those and looking at some of the awesome results that people were getting. And we'll dive into all of that stuff soon. But first, I really want to talk about your book, The Kefir Solution, and something within the book that really caught my attention. You talk about the four horsemen of the gut apocalypse. And that's basically a really cool term to explain all the main enemies to good gut health. So what are those four things that you talk about?
Sugar, stress, chemicals, and antibiotics. Your gut microbiome is like a fragile ecosystem. And I like to think of it like the Amazon rainforest, full of all beautiful little creatures, you know, birds and bugs and lizards and leaves and deer and tigers and jaguars all running around in this complex ecosystem. And like any ecosystem, it's fragile and it can be damaged. And the four horsemen of the gut apocalypse are those things that damage your gut health. Now, the problem is, show me someone who's not experiencing pressure from all of those things all the time. You know, we all take antibiotics, even if you're not taking them from the doctor. They're in the food chain. They're in the groundwater. Unfortunately, we're just soaking up antibiotics all the time. If you're leading a stress-free life, then you're doing better than I am because we're all experiencing stress to some level. The chemicals, that's a huge issue. You know, antibacterial soap, for example, triclosan in your toothpaste, the things that are in air pollution, the things that are in plastic, you know, phthalate, all of these things actually leach into your system and change the DNA of your cells. It's so scary. The average woman hosts 515 chemicals by the time she steps out of the bathroom in the morning. By the time you've had your shampoo and your conditioner and your soap and your makeup and your, you know, and all these things, they soak into your skin. Your skin is the outer layer of your immune system. It's all connected. So you put stuff on your skin and it goes right into your system. And that's why women are about 70% of the autoimmune population, because it's women who are using the makeup and using the cleaning products and exposing themselves to these chemicals all the time. So it's far more women than men experience autoimmune issues. And autoimmune issues are anything that is tied to the microbiome. So eczema, psoriasis, rosacea, acne, IBS, anxiety, depression, chronic fatigue, lupus, arthritis, diabetes type 2, obesity, all these things are linked to the microbiome. And the other thing is age. I mean, the sad fact is your microbiome, if left to itself, simply becomes depleted over time because these pressures are all sort of pressing down on it all the time. And it is characteristic of the microbiome of an older person that there are fewer strains present. It just gets depleted. So you've got to sort of push that back intentionally and with the biohacking. And kefir is the best way that I know to do that. That was in the early days. Now we know the kefir plus prebiotic is even more powerful. So the kefir is the live bacteria at like bees. And the prebiotic is like the flowers. It's like what feeds the bees. And those two things together create an incredibly powerful impact.
So at this point in the conversation, I asked Shan about serotonin. Now, I don't know about you, but up until this point, I really just thought serotonin was this like happy chemical that the brain produced after we do exercise and things. That's what I'd heard about in the past. But when I read Shan's book, she talks about the role serotonin plays in the gut, how it's produced in the gut, and how it does so much more in the body.
So serotonin is incredibly important, not just for your brain, but for every single organ in your body. It's part of why it's so alarming when people take antidepressants. They're called SSRIs, which is a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. And what that means is it's keeping your system from reabsorbing the serotonin. The problem with that is that every single organ in your body needs the serotonin. And so actually the fatality estimates for those antidepressants are incredibly high. I suggest you type in, do the research. There are stories out there. The stories didn't make it very far, but the long-term diagnosis for people who take SSRIs is not good. It's not good. So messing with your serotonin system is dangerous. Serotonin is produced inside your gut by certain cells called enterochromaffin cells. And there, I like to think of them like the birds of paradise in the Amazon rainforest. There's only a few of them, and they do this incredibly important thing. Like anything else, they can be damaged, and you damage the inside of your gut, and you crush that ecosystem, and you got no enterochromaffin cells, and they are not producing any serotonin. And so there's no calm, there's no happy in your brain. Most of the serotonin that is produced is used up in the gut anyway, and you have to produce enough then for there to be some left over for it to get to the brain. So you're already fighting a losing battle there. The good news is you can restore that process. So you can actually boost the serotonin cell process by restoring your gut health, which is part of the reason why the first thing that happens when you start to restore your gut health by taking kefir and a prebiotic is your mood improves. You start feeling calmer. You start feeling happier. that happens quickly. And that can happen within about 3 weeks. We've just had a study done from Cardiff University on our kefir plus prebiotic, so synbiotic, and they found profound emotional impact on workers within 6 weeks of taking the synbiotic. People felt less tired during the day. They felt a heightened sense of well-being. They felt more immersed in their work. They felt a larger sense of thriving. That's what you're after, right? So that can happen quite quickly with a very simple dietary exercise. And that's all about the serotonin.
Yes, and that's something I can totally vouch for as well. I ordered a month's supply of the kefir, and the one thing I was really surprised about was how much it lifted my mood. I mean, I've got no major issues with my gut these days, but I still want to take lots of preventative measures to basically just keep looking after it and make sure it's ticking over nicely. But I really wasn't expecting that proper mood boost that I got from drinking the kefir.
It's amazing how that works. And people don't think about the mood as being an actual issue and connected to these other autoimmune conditions. Generally, people will come to us because they have eczema or they have rosacea and they want their skin cleared. But actually, what they're not aware of is because of the gut-brain connection, the first thing that happens is that anxiety clears, the depression clears, you start to feel clearer, more energetic, more optimistic. And that's the first stage of actually getting yourself back on that good track. I think of it like all of these issues are like symptomatic leaves of a tree. The way that you're experiencing problems in your immune system, on your skin, it can look like eczema or psoriasis or rosacea. In your brain, it feels like anxiety and depression. In your joints, it can feel like arthritis. In your tummy, it can feel like IBS, you know, diarrhea, constipation, any of those things. But those are all symptomatic leaves of a single tree. And the trunk of the tree sits in your gut. They're all connected.
Yes. And another really interesting thing with the whole serotonin issue is, again, I thought it was just all about happiness, lifting your mood. But you write in the book as well about how it's actually very important for your bowel movements as well. It basically keeps you regular.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Any kind of peristaltic movement is controlled by serotonin. Serotonin has to do with your musculoskeletal system. It has to do with your sleep. It is literally all the way through your body. Serotonin, it's a communication molecule is what it is. So if you think about the neurons in your brain or in your gut, and I was amazed to figure out that actually your brain and your gut are constructed the same. Seems weird, but it's true. In both organs, in fetal tissue, it's the same thing that divides into the brain and the gut. And both brain and gut have neurons, and the neurons work the same way. And the neurons communicate using serotonin. The serotonin is like the bird song traveling from one bird to another. If you have too much bird song, there's too much communication between neurons, it's anxiety. Things are just going too fast. Your thoughts are racing. You know, everything seems frightening. Your amygdala is overacting. Everything is going too fast, too much. In your brain, that feels like anxiety. In your gut, that feels like diarrhea. Everything's whooshing through too quickly. And conversely, if everything is too slow, if there's not enough serotonin, then in your brain, that feels like depression. You can imagine that Amazon rainforest and the birds are just not communicating. There's not enough, you know, signal going from neuron to neuron. So it's dark and slow. In your brain, depression. In your gut, constipation. It's a real mind blower to realize not only are your brain and your gut connected, but they're literally one thing. And we are really not used to thinking about it that way. But you can enter that feedback loop at any point. In other words, if you have IBS, then chances are you're going to have anxiety, depression. And if you have anxiety, depression, chances are you're going to have IBS. It just works in a cycle. You can enter that cycle at any point. That's the good news is, you can break the cycle by eating something that changes your gut, which changes your brain, because it's hard to get to your brain to deal with, but it's easy to get to your gut. You can do that with dietary intervention. And that, at this point at Chuckling Goat, we have a wonderful scientific advisory board. We have distinguished scientists, professors, doctors, oncologists. This is my favorite thing in the world. I love to get on and talk with all these scientists and talk about what we're going to test, what we're going to trial, what science, what good science we can do next. And that is what we're seeing, is the brain-gut connection is so powerful and can be impacted very quickly in a matter of weeks. And that is exciting stuff.
It's all very exciting stuff, especially when you think that there's a lot of people out there who are turning to medications like SSRIs to try and fix their head. And what you guys are basically saying here is that if we deal with those four horsemen with our gut issues, get that kefir into your system, then we can basically change things very quickly.
It doesn't take long. It really doesn't take long. And I think if you, as you said, you were reading the reviews, we have a 4.9 out of 5 on Trustpilot and we have 5,000 reviews. I'm really proud of that. But if you get on and read those reviews, that's why people are raving about it, because it's life-changing. It really is. When we started out, we had absolutely no money. As I told you, Rich was ill. We'd blown through all of our savings. He had to actually sell his motorcycle so that we could buy bottles to put the kefir in. And he's never forgiven me for that. I keep telling him, buy another one, it's fine. But no, you made me sell my motorcycle. But we really started from nothing. And we had no marketing budget because we had no money of any kind. But we experienced 4,000% growth. Oh, sorry, 6,000% growth over 4 years. And the reason for that is it works. People are just telling each other about it. It was all word of mouth because that's all we had. So it's powerful.
Yeah. And can you think of some case study examples where you've had amazing results?
Yeah. In fact, I had people would knock at the farmhouse door. And let's be honest, you don't knock at the farmhouse door of the crazy American goat lady unless you've been everywhere else, right? You've been to every doctor, you've been to every hospital, and nothing has worked. And then you end up at my door. So I had one lovely lady named Bethan. The eczema that she had was so severe and she had steroid withdrawal. So her face just looked like a mask. And she was a singer. She couldn't perform. She couldn't go on stage or anything. And I worked with her for about 18 months and we completely cleared her skin. And it was amazing. You know, I'm still in touch with her. There was a little boy named Cameron and his mother, Michaela, came to visit. And poor Cameron was only 3 and his eczema was so severe that it looked as if he'd been burned. And when his grandmother would take him out for a walk and people would call social services because they thought that he was being abused. It was horrible, absolutely horrible. And it broke my heart. So we started working with Cameron and Michaela and we were able to clear his condition. I'm still in touch with Michaela and he's 11 now. That was 7 years ago. And she said he's clear. He's not on any steroids. You know, so we're still in touch. And really, in a wonderful and very unexpected turn of events, some of those people got together and nominated me for an MBE. And it went through. And so on New Year's, I received an MBE in the King's New Year's Honor Awards for Charity and Innovation. And I was completely stunned. I was not expecting anything like that. So you never know if you do good out in the world, how it's going to come back. I was very touched.
Yeah, congrats on that, Shan. And I don't actually think there'll be that many American women who've got an MBE. We've already spoken about the link between IBS, anxiety, depression, but I want to specifically ask about the link with the gut microbiome and skin issues, because I've got some friends who've got skin issues and my little boy who's only 18 months old, he's had some eczema as well. So let's dive a bit deeper into the link between gut issues and your skin.
So here's the thing with autoimmune issues. We call it the autoimmune braid because there are some different issues coming together into this situation. Number one, an eczema, be clear, is an autoimmune issue. So number one, you've got a genetic predisposition. So there is going to be somewhere in your family, on either side, someone who has eczema, psoriasis, rosacea, acne, IBS, depression, you know, diabetes, chronic fatigue, something like that, on one side or the other, or maybe both. That predisposition sits inside your system. And keep in mind that your gut is the home of your immune system. So 70% of your immune system sits inside the gut. And then you have item number two, which is a trigger event. A trigger event can be a hormonal event, like birth, which is a hormonal event, or puberty, pregnancy, menopause. It can be a stress event. It can be a virus. It can be a course of antibiotics. Any of those things can trigger that pre-existing genetic disposition towards autoimmune, and it will start to roll inside your system and it will become symptomatic. Subsequent trigger events then will cause that to roll at an even higher level. So people may know if they have eczema, for example, and they've had it since childhood, they could think back and go, oh, when I went to uni and it got much worse, you know, it was stressful. I was having a lot of late nights. That will make it worse and worse and worse. And you can be in quite a vicious spiral unless you do something to stand that down. A bereavement can be a trigger event. Any of those things can, you know, trigger and roll to a symptomatic to a higher level. And then what we've now found with the microbiome test, and we have just launched in partnership with University of Cambridge, our own microbiome test. It's 2.5 years in the making. What we're finding is that if you've ever had food poisoning, tooth infection, a skin infection, a UTI, or a hospital-acquired infection, some of the bacteria from that may have lingered and gone down into your gut microbiome and where they set up what's called a biofilm. Biofilm is bacteria locked into kind of a coral reef. They're down there with other commensal bacteria, and it's like the gunk on the bottom of a trash can. It's really hard to get out. And they're sticking down there because they're protected. It's great for the bacteria. They're quite safe and happy. Your immune system knows that they're there, tries to get rid of them, and fails. And so it's just this sort of low-grade infection that your immune system is kind of revving and revving and revving and exhausting itself over time. So what we're finding is that you might have had food poisoning 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and ever since, maybe nothing's ever been right. Maybe you've always had a little bit of IBS. Maybe you had a tooth infection. An infection inside the mouth is associated with Fusobacterium, which is one of the bacteria that we test for, one of the pathogens. We now know that Fusobacterium is also correlated with colorectal cancer. Now, I'm not saying it's causative. I'm not saying that Fusobacteria causes colorectal cancer. However, we do know that it's 100% correlated. If you've got colorectal cancer, you've also got Fusobacterium. So the relationship between those two things is still unclear, but that's what we're researching. So we're finding these bacterial correlations with these different kinds of conditions. And also excitingly, so we now have a sister company to Chuckling Gulp called Honest Pharmacy, and we have made these vinegars. It sounds crazy as I say it, but it is very scientifically based. So these vinegars are steeped with antimicrobial herbs, and we've had the vinegars lab tested, and they are shown to actually remediate these pathogens. So I had a list of 14 different pathogens that was coming up in the test, and people were saying, well, what am I going to do about this? I've got a Shigella infection. You know, I've got a Salmonella infection. These bacteria are quite often antibiotic resistant because people have already taken antibiotics and the antibiotics have done their work, wiped out everything that they can, killed off the weak ones, and the strong ones, just like my experience with Rich, are still there. They're still down there in a biofilm and they're resistant. But they're not resistant to our antimicrobial botanicals that are in the vinegar. So we made these vinegars. Again, it took me years to put this together. Sent them off, had them tested, spent thousands of pounds. But I now have 3 antimicrobial vinegars. They're apple cider vinegar base, and they're tested to remediate these pathogens. 12 out of the 14, I was able to knock out with the vinegars. The remaining two, I used ashwagandha tincture on. I couldn't quite get it with the vinegars, but I got pretty close. So this is our new thing. We've just launched the vinegars as well, and we're getting amazing results. We actually just had a client who had an Agrafella infection. Agrafella is associated with colitis, ulcerative colitis. He phoned the office and he said, all I'm doing is taking this vinegar and I've only been taking it for 4 days and I'm already having a result. Is that even possible? And I said, yes, it is. So the next step now is we're going to do an in vivo trial of the vinegars. We'll microbiome test, have someone take the vinegars, microbiome test again, see what the pathogen level is. That's my focus for the future.
Okay, so are these vinegars on sale at the moment? And what is the whole process for that? Do people have to have the microbiome test first, identify what's going on, and then maybe get these vinegars later?
Well, the vinegars are available on the Honest Pharmacy website, and it's A-N-A and then pharmacy, F-A-R-M, like farm. So the vinegars taste good. And, you know, if you want to, you can get all 3 of them and just take them in rotation. You can literally take them, you know, in some warm water half an hour before a meal, and they will help your digestion. So if you want to sort of give yourself broad range protection against these pathogens, you can do that. Or you can take the microbiome test, figure out which ones you have, and then focus in with the vinegar that you specifically need. We recommend 90 days, and then we recommend a retest. So again, you don't have to guess. You see what your level is at the start, take it for 90 days, retest. And, you know, the microbiome is quite volatile. Things are changing all the time. So then we'd like you to have another test so that we can see what the level is. Maybe you may have picked up something else in the meantime. We can remediate that. The thing we're finding with the biofilms is they really sit on top of your results. So most of the time I was getting these great results. People were thrilled. They're over the moon. Their life has changed. Every once in a while, somebody would come to me and say, wow, it's not working for me. It's working for everyone else. I can see, you know, I'm reading the reviews, but why not me? I'm doing all the right things. Why not me? And as a journalist, I was like, oh, I don't know. Why not you? Let's find out. And that's when I went and started looking for the answer. And what I found is these biofilms, they can literally sit on top of your results. So if you're doing everything right, but you still feel like, oh, I'm not seeing the results that everyone else is talking about, it's a good idea to take the microbiome test, because chances are you've got some kind of low-grade infection. And once we remediate that, then you'll start to see the results that you're looking for.
Awesome stuff. We're just about to wrap up here, Shan. Let's finish off talking about goat's milk kefir and your advice for someone who wants to get started on it. What would you say to them?
These days, I recommend that people start slowly. Kefir is incredibly strong. And I think there is this feeling that because it's natural, you can just chunk it down. And we find that if people are starting from a very dysbiotic state, so if their, you know, gut health is damaged over a long period of time and they're very sensitive, if they start slugging down 170 mil, which is the recommended daily dosage, they can throw themselves into a detox because your system just gets unbalanced. So I do recommend, particularly if people feel like they're really sensitive or they have taken a lot of antibiotics, start slowly, just a tablespoon a day. And you can take a tablespoon a day every day for a week, and then 2 tablespoons a day every day for a week, and 3 tablespoons and so on, and gradually work your way up. If any, everything should be feeling better. You know, your skin should be better, your mood should be better, your tummy should be better, your joints should be better. If anything starts feeling worse instead of better, then you go right back down to that 1 tablespoon and start the slow increase process again. Because if you think about it, this is not a, you know, no pain, no gain thing. You're dealing with a whole ecosystem, and it's gentle, 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 small steps. You know, you don't go in and like chainsaw down the whole ecosystem and replant it all with fully grown oaks. You're sort of sprinkling in some pioneer species, and you're being respectful, right? And paying attention to your body. So that's item number one. The same thing then, I would suggest that taking the prebiotic as well. If you're just taking the probiotic and you're not taking the prebiotic, it's like buying a puppy and not taking home any puppy food, or putting a lot of expensive fish in the fish tank and not feeding them. There's no point in investing all of this time and energy and money in the process and then not feeding those bacteria. So it's important to take both the probiotic and the prebiotic together. And you also want to start slowly on the prebiotic. So I would add the kefir in first. And then once you're feeling comfortable with that, then start to add the prebiotic. And again, teaspoon a day, you know, every day for a week, then 2 teaspoons a day. So that gradually you're ramping up. And the reason you're adding one at a time is that you can, if you throw everything in there at once and you have a reaction, you don't know what you're reacting to. So you have to think of yourself as a scientist. You're the scientist of your own wellness. So add these things in gradually, one at a time.
Fantastic. And where can people find out more about Chuckling Goat, yourself, and the goat's milk kefir?
Everything is online. So it's all chucklinggoat.co.uk. And everything can be delivered to your door. So again, we've tried to make it as easy and simple as possible. A good place to start is I have a lovely team of nutritional therapists. They're available from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. on the website. Their average response time is 23 seconds. We've got them timed. They're very nice, and they love to talk about gut health. So anytime from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. weekdays, you get on the website, ask them a question, and they can talk you through this process and answer your questions directly. And that's the best way. There are no bots. It's all human beings. So talk to a real trained human being and they will answer your questions for you.
Okay, guys, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I did. I honestly do my very best just to get people on that I know are going to provide real value and proper advice that can help you get control of your gut health. As always, I'm going to include all the relevant links in the show notes below this episode so you can dive right into all of those stuff, get properly acquainted with the goat's milk, kefir, probiotics, all of that amazing stuff. Thanks for tuning into the episode. Have an amazing day.